We've had a wild weekend. You know, it's been kind of crazy. We got, you know, lots of singing and games and learning about the Lord and learning about the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to conclude our Vacation Bible School with two things. We got two more things here. Okay, we've got our worship lesson this morning, and then we're going to eat together. And that's always a good thing, right? That's a blessing from the Lord too, right? Y'all don't sound very convinced of that. Okay, I guess we won't eat then. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I just, you know. All right. Well, you know, we've been focusing on this whole weekend, Friday. And this is a, you know, by the way, for any of you, maybe this may be your first time with us for Vacation Bible School. This is a really completely different format than we've normally done, where we've done this weekend kind of a thing. Now, for all of our workers and our members, you know, folks that have, you know, put a lot of work into this, I want you to go and bend Tom's ear, okay? And you can come and bend mine, too. We need to hear from you about this new format. You know, what do you think? Give us some feedback so we know, you know, what you think about it and any suggestions you have for making it even better or what have you. If you didn't like it, tell us that, too. You know, Tom's a grown man. He won't cry. I might. But no, we want to hear from you, good or bad. We need to know so we can, you know, always do things better and better and better. But it's a blue ribbon life. That's what we've been focusing on. Trying to learn about the fruit of the Spirit that God has made available to us through His Spirit. That's what helps us to be what God wants us to be. And focusing everything on how do we allow God's Spirit and His fruit to show up in our lives so that our lives can make a difference in other people's lives. Okay? We're going to finish this morning with this lesson on looking at the text of Galatians 5 that talks about and tells us more about the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to ask you to turn in your Bible, open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, and beginning in verse 16, and let's take a look at, make sure we understand, you know, this fruit of the Spirit. It's not just a list. You know, we sing a song and we, you know, we learn the list of the fruits of the Spirit, but it's not just a list of some neat words, but rather there's a context that God gives us this fruit of the Spirit in. And if we're really going to make the fruit of the Spirit work in our lives, then I think we need to understand the context of it. You see? Now, I know some of you young people may not understand when I say context, what does that mean? That's kind of like the setting, okay? So like if somebody's telling you a story, you know, you need to know the setting of the story so you understand the story. And that's what the context is. We need to understand the context of why God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us about this fruit of the Spirit, okay? Because if we understand that better, then we can understand how God intends for us to use this fruit that He gives to us. So the first thing that we have to understand about this context and what's going on here is it's all about a war has been declared. That's right. Now, normally we don't think about fruit being associated with war, but that's really what this is all about here, you see. If you begin looking in verse 16, in this first section, Paul here tells us about spiritual warfare. And that's the real context that we find God telling us about the fruit of His Spirit in our lives. Look at what he says here. He tells us, I want you to live by the Spirit. If you do that, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Look at the next verse he said, or the next statement he says, they are in conflict with each other. Well, I don't know about you, but in my book, that's war. Okay? There's a conflict going on here between our sinful nature. That's the part of us, that physical part that wants to do bad. You see? And the Spirit, you see, that wants us to do good. The Spirit that wants us to have that fruit of His in our lives. He says, there's a conflict between the two of them. So that's war that's going on between those two. He says, they're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And that's why, have you ever kind of, you know, you look at that piece of cake, kids, that your mom said, don't eat that cake. And you look at it and the cake looks so good. And you know that mom said, don't eat that cake. Look around, you go. You guys have never done that before, right? Yeah, you know what that is? That's that sinful nature. That's that war that's going on, and one side is going, go ahead and taste the cake. It's not going to hurt anything. And the other side of it says, but mom said don't eat any of the cake. And we struggle with that, don't we? And like for kids, sometimes you struggle with that cake or that cookie or the thing your teacher at school says, don't do this, and you want to do it, and you struggle with that because you want to do it, but you know you're not supposed to, and if I do it, I might get in trouble. And as adults, we struggle with those same things, don't we? The things that we know we're not supposed to do. We want to do some of those things. And that old devil is right there trying to encourage us to do those things that we know we shouldn't do. But God gives us the fruit of His Spirit in our lives to help us in that battle, in that war, so that we don't give in to those temptations and we do what we're supposed to do. You see? And God wants us to know, you know, it's not just about eating cake that we're not supposed to eat. Look at the next thing that He says here. In verse 19, he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. That's interesting when you look at the word here, obvious. The King James, some of you have a King James Bible, and it says, it uses the word manifest. Well, literally, that word means shining. Okay? So, have you ever been driving down a street, like a city street at nighttime, and you can see off in the distance all the signs that are lit up, that light up and make everything look so great and wonderful. And, you know, those lights are just as shining, aren't they? Drawing your attention to come there and to see this and to do this and all of that kind of thing. That's the word that's used here, is a word that indicates that kind of thing. In other words, it's almost like a beacon. And what he's telling us here is, The acts of the sinful nature, sin around us, is so obvious that it ought to be like a light that's shining. In other words, we ought to know that these things are wrong, that they're sinful in our lives. They are so obvious by themselves. Well, if they're so obvious, why do we keep getting into trouble with them? Well, the answer to that is because there's a war going on, right? You see? That's what it's about, is this battle, this war that's going on between that which draws us to those things that are obvious that we shouldn't be doing, and the Spirit on the other side going, don't be going there. Even though they're obvious, we still struggle with them. You see? Satan has a way to take those things, even though they're obvious, and make them look so good and appealing, doesn't it? You know? So we know we're not supposed to eat the cake. It's obvious. Don't eat the cake. But Satan has a way of making that cake look so good that we just can't keep our fingers off of it. That's the war. That's the nature of the warfare that we are in. And he gives us then a list in the next couple of verses, a list of the things that he says, this is sinful stuff. You see, this is the stuff that's bad for you in your life. And so we need to stay away from this stuff. And he gives us this list, and he talks about things like sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord and jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissensions, factions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. And he says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Yeah. Some pretty serious stuff. See? Pretty serious stuff. He's warning us. This stuff is obvious. It's obviously bad. So when the lights are flashing and the whistles are blowing and the flags are waving saying, come and do this, that ought to be a sign to us to do what? Go the other way. Walk away from it, you see. Because we know that's what Satan is doing, is trying to get us to do these things that we know we shouldn't be doing. See? So he gives us this list and then, right after giving us the list of these things that he tells us, stay away from this. It's warning, warning, danger. You see, stay away from these things. Because if you get involved in this stuff, then you will not get to spend eternity with me. And then there's a really special word he uses. And I like this word. It's what we call a transition word. In other words, it takes our thoughts from one thing to another. And it's that word, but. And he uses that right here, doesn't he? He gives us this long list of all these things that we got to stay away from. And then he says, but, and this is the exciting part, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is, help me out, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we got two lists, don't we? You see? We got two lists. And the great thing about this list is, in this he's saying, fill her up. Okay? This is the stuff he wants us to have as much of as we can and want. You see? Look at what he's saying here. He gives us this list, and look at verse 23. At the end of it, he says, against such things there is no law. In other words, there's nothing wrong with these things. You see? Nothing wrong with them. You can have as much of these things as you want to. I don't know about you, but you know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of like a buffet. Okay? It's a buffet, all you can eat of the fruit of the Spirit. You see? So you can go back as many times as you want, get as much of the fruit of the Spirit as you want, you can fill up on it, and you will never get too much. And you know what the greatest thing about that kind of buffet is? It's free. It's free. Now that, I don't know what you think about it, but that beats around 10 bucks at Golden Corral any day of the week. Right? Okay? It's free. It's completely free. Because it's already been paid for by the blood of Jesus. You see? So all of that fruit that He has to offer us through His Spirit is completely free. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. Get as much of it as you want. Fill up completely on this kind of fruit. And you know, when you think about it, what that fruit does, and in all this weekend we've been focusing on this, what that fruit does and what it's designed and intended to do is to affect our lives on a daily basis as to how we handle ourselves when we deal with one another. You see? So if you think about it, you see, what's that love for? You know, that fruit of the Spirit. Well, you know, that helps me it helps you when I'm not being very lovable. You see, it helps you to love me anyway. You see, or maybe when I'm just really kind of being a pain in the neck, it helps you to be patient with me until I catch on, or whatever the need is, or maybe I just need some extra kindness because I'm having a really, really bad time in my life right now. Or maybe what it does is it helps us when you know, when somebody needs that extra touch of gentleness rather than some really, you know, coming at them really strong and hard, we got to handle things gently sometimes with folks. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit does, is it helps us to learn how to do that with one another in our lives, you see. So God says, fill up. Get as much of it as you want. The Apostle Peter said it a different way, but it is basically, really is saying the same thing. He just words it a little bit differently. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And then he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measures. Okay, what's that mean? More, right? I'm liking this stuff. You see? It's more and more. If you possess these in increasing measures, get as much as you want, as much as you can. You see? If you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a winner to me. You see? That we are then effective in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what we know in the relationship that we have with God, it becomes effective in our lives. And we're productive as citizens of His kingdom as we live our lives with these things. But then, here's that word again. But. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. He says, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So you see, what they want us to understand is the true value of these qualities, this fruit that God has given us through His Spirit, that help us to be what God wants us to be in our daily lives. Without those things in our lives, He says, we're nearsighted and blind. You may as well be walking around in the dark. But you know what? God did not intend for His children to walk around in the dark. Right? Amen? That's why He sent His Son, who is light, you see, to help us to be able to see in the dark and to live our lives in the light with Jesus Christ. But in order for that to happen, there's a really, really important thing that we have to do. You know, one of the things that, you know, when you think about fruit, whether it's on a tree or whether it grows on a vine, and fruits, different kinds of fruits grow all kinds of different ways, but there's one thing that's common to all of them. If they're not connected to the vine or to the tree, then they're not going to continue to grow. Jesus, in John chapter 15, tells us this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And then down in verse 16 he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, when he tells us to bear fruit, what is he talking about? I think sometimes we get the wrong idea and we think that when he tells us to bear fruit, he's talking about going out and making more Christians. I don't think that's what he's talking about. The fruit isn't more Christians. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit we've been talking about. You see? Because who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. And he's not calling the Christians fruit, he's calling us what? Branches. You see? We're the branches, he says. And the branches are supposed to do what? Bear fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And when we keep ourselves attached to the true vine, then we're going to bear that fruit in our lives. But if we don't stay connected to the vine, then we won't be able to bear fruit. And the only thing we'll be good for is to be thrown into the fire. So you see, God wants us to bear fruit in our lives for Him. He's told us how important it is because we're at war. See? And the way that we become victorious in that war is, number one, to stay attached to the vine. That is Jesus, right? Okay? Number two, to be adding to our lives these fruits in increasing measure so that we will be productive and effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is really all about. So, I hope that through this weekend, through all the things that we've been talking about, that you've been able to really learn some things about how important the fruit of the Spirit is in our lives, and that God wants us to be bearing fruit. You see, it's one thing He wants us to get as much of that fruit into our lives as we can, but His intention is not for us to keep that fruit for ourselves. His intention is for us to share that fruit with everybody else. I mean, what good is it if all you have this fruit of the Spirit of love and you just keep it for yourself? Or the joy. How are you going to keep all that joy bottled up inside of you, you see? He didn't give it to you for that. He gave it to you to share with others. And the same way with all the rest of them. So God wants us to share that fruit with other people. Okay? So the things that we've talked about, the things you've learned this morning, don't keep it to yourself. Go out and share it with other folks so that they can enjoy the benefit and the blessing of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And then they share it with somebody else and they get to enjoy it and they share it. And you see how that just keeps on going. That's what God wants us to do. I have really enjoyed this weekend in talking about and focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, and I hope that you have too. I hope that you will take these things that we've talked about, young people and our older people, all of us, to take these things that God has shared with us in His Word about the fruit of the Spirit and how important they are, because they will, first of all, make our lives so much better. And they will also make the lives of other people better as we share those with them. Now, we come to the point here where we want to have opportunity and provide opportunity for anyone that maybe you look at your life and say, you know, I got some of this particular fruit in my life, but I think it's kind of gone bad because maybe I haven't been using it very much. I need some help. I need to get some fresh fruit in there, and I need to build myself up to be more of what God wants me to be. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to help us each other to be what God wants to be and to have this ripe, beautiful fruit that we share with one another. So maybe if some of the fruit in your life has gotten kind of rotten and, you know, whatever, then let's get rid of that and let's get you some fresh fruit in there. If you need encouragement or guidance, teaching, maybe it's forgiveness of sin you need that's kind of keeping that fruit from being where it needs to be. That's what we want to help with. There's someone here this morning that's not a child of God. If you've not given your life to Christ yet, then you need to know that you don't have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You can't have it in there because you don't have Christ. But you can this morning, right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's His promise. You see? And that includes the fruit thereof. If that's what you need this morning, then all you have to do is come up and let me know. And we'll baptize you into Christ right now, this morning. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up and make a public confession or just to ask for prayers or whatever you need. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd just like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.